Welcome to the Social Impactors Podcast. This podcast is all about impact. We work to highlight impactful individuals making positive social change in their communities. From coaches, authors, entrepreneurs, influencers, we tap into the minds of some of the most impactful people around the world to find out how they have built a life of creating impact. Now listen in and be ready to go on a journey of enlightenment, motivation, and awe. Social impact everywhere.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode. And today I have another special guest with us, and his name is Dirk Peterson. And Dirk supported the inaugural Disrupt HR Charlottesville and is on the board of Ruitin. And I'm going to let him explain a lot more about that, because from what I've seen from, you know, just being connected for a couple of minutes now and doing a background of what you've done, a lot of great things, a lot of innovation, a lot of disruption. And I love that. So, Dirk, I want to start with saying thank you for being on the show. And I'd love for you just to introduce yourself, you know, who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
Thanks so much, Avery. It's a pleasure to be here with you as well. And I'm laughing, of course, because I'm my background originally is I grew up in Germany, and we're not that used to talking about ourselves in such high.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, here's your chance.
I'll do my best. I'll practice. But to answer your question, there's a couple of things that I think I've learned by moving here to Charlottesville, Virginia. We had lived in, I'd grown up in Germany. I'd lived in Philadelphia, Boston, and Washington and London. And when we came back to the US, we found ourselves coming here to Charlottesville because it's a beautiful place, but very quickly learned that it's also a beautiful community. And connected to the community through an organization called the Ruritans, which essentially is kind of like, I call it like Lions or Rotary, but for farmers. Oh. And it really was founded in the early 1900s to bring together people in rural communities in the US that had an interest in their community and wanted to make an impact there. And that is what we have tried to do over the last 7 years with that group. And then last year, I was approached by one of the founders of Disrupt HR in Charlottesville. And she asked whether I wanted to contribute. I had been part of Disrupt HR in Chicago. And so I said, I'd be happy to, and very quickly got involved in supporting that event in a couple of ways that I can describe in more detail. But what both of these things, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about it today, have taught me is that you can, as an individual, help shape and make better the place where you live through social impact. And that's what I'm trying to do through my involvement and engagement with the community here.
Yeah, no, that's true, that community can be a catalyst for a lot of pretty disruptive change. And social impact is a part of that, but it has to come from a community initiative. It can't be an individual, right? Imagine the burden of that. That's a lot. But when you bring together community, it works.
Yeah, exactly. And so social impact, I see here, Disrupt HR has a great impact on, can have a great impact on the human resources community in Charlottesville and in the region. And I like the title of Disrupt HR is because human resources is at a place where it will change significantly in the next 10 years from a very administrative function that you usually only see as an employee when you get hired or when you leave a company or if there's some kind of issue with your paycheck or something like that, right?
Yeah.
To a function that will very much impact individuals' careers. By understanding the skills of individuals in detail, by understanding how people work together in an organization, helping them find others like-minded people that they can connect with. And since I work on that issue, on that topic in my day job, so to speak, to bring that know-how and knowledge into the disrupt HR realm and into the community here in Charlottesville, I thought would be a good way of making a positive social impact for people in human resources.
Yeah. It's very administrative right now, HR, from what I've seen, but it's funny because it's human resources. So I can't wait till it becomes, you know, a much more human a connection, right? Because it really should be. And I mean, I'm a victim of this. The last time that I talked with HR was because of a paycheck. So there is a big flip happening. Mm-hmm. I love that you're disrupting that. I really do. But let's jump into the first question, first official question. And it's about you. So it's about Dirk. And I'm curious, how are you making a positive impact in your community? And you can pull from what you said about Disrupt HR, but I'd love for you just to build on that. How are you making that positive impact?
Yeah, so let's start purely within our little group. We live a little bit outside of Charlottesville in a place called Whitehall. That's where the Ruritans are. And I'm on the board of the Ruritans. And as a board member, what you realize is that we can impact the community positively through initiatives that bring together the people in the community. And so what we do as a board is we facilitate the members to do fundraising through very simple things like a plant sale. Where last year, I think it was about five of our members dug out of their garden over 1,000 plants, local plants, and sold them in a basically a plant sale, bake sale, yard sale, and raised several thousand dollars of funds. It partly was the fundraising, but the other part was just, it was a moment where over 100 people in the community came together and shared the plans and shared the stories and shared know-how of what do you plant locally, what can you do to you know, grow your own garden, whether it's vegetables or whether it's plants that are just beautiful. And that is one of the examples of what I am facilitating at the board, and my role is to communicate about that and make sure that we have good communication about all the great work that goes on within the group to build group cohesiveness, and beyond the group to attract others to come and join, because the more people that are part of this, you know, the stronger the community and the more you can do together to have a positive impact on those people that live there and those people that sometimes need help to you know, go get over a challenge that they face.
Yeah. I gotta say that I love that there is an initiative called the Ruritans. I did not know, and I know you said it's quite old now, but what a cool way to bring together people, you know, that are community minded to begin with. Because, you know, I came from a very, very hobby farmer background, but I was raised on a farm. I had chickens and cows, or chickens and pheasants, and lots of different.
Awesome.
I love the culture of it, and I love the community behind farming. Right. It's a very, very inviting community. So I really do appreciate that. I love it. And I love what you're doing. So let's go into the next question then. And it's about business. So I'm curious to see your perspective, because you have a corporate, let's say, background. You work in corporate, but then you also do all these community initiatives on social impact. So do you believe social impact is an important part of business? And if so, why?
Mm. Okay, so to give you then the 30-second summary on where I'm coming from, where my perspective comes from, I started, I did undergraduate finance at Wharton, then I went into investment banking, I went to Harvard Business School afterwards to get my MBA, and then worked in project finance for a little while before going into human resources. And so I come from the side of finance and business into this field. And what I have learned is that while many of my classmates probably would argue that there's one job of an organization, and that is to create shareholder value, I think the enlightened organizations are seeing that by engaging in their community, they create a sense of belonging and a sense of positive connection to the enterprise that helps employees perform better, engage more, be happier, be healthier, and stay with the organization longer. So yeah. I think there's a pretty direct chain of value that is created through social impact initiatives in organizations. I've seen it work well at the Corporate Executive Board, where I used to work before joining the World Bank. We had a friend of ours, a colleague of ours, who was diagnosed with cancer. And we organized the organization around supporting that cause, and it brought together 1,000+ people in the organization on an annual walk in DC and on fundraising and all these activities. And it was quite powerful. And that, I think, is just one example of why social impact also has a real role in organizations. Yeah, it just creates a sense of like a great moment together that you have with others that you usually only see at work, and where you sometimes have conflict at work because you have different priorities or different objectives or see objectives differently. And then when you're outside and you're all together and supporting this good cause, and you have a moment or more, a couple of moments or more to talk to each other about stuff that's so different, it creates this goodwill with each other that, hey, I now see you slightly differently. And so I'm maybe going to be listening to you a little bit more, and therefore it's going to be make it a little bit easier for us to work together in our day to day again.
Yeah. And I love taking that step back, because it could be something as simple as, a planned 5K run. I know that a lot of, I work in the education sector, and a lot of educational institutions, they'll do that. It'll be a planned 5K run for the city or for a cause. But you notice that quite quickly those hierarchies not fall apart, but kind of disappear, because it's really a conversation. And you're all there for the same reason, and it's to help that cause or that city. And I'm just being an outsider, I noticed that, and I was like, that's amazing. Right? That these little initiatives you can do, and that's the micro scale, right? There's much more macro, but they really do bring community together, and they can affect some really good change, especially after, right? You can bring that back into the organization, like you're saying, and then work better together. So I couldn't agree with you more on that.
Yeah. And one interesting thing that we learned at CB was that it pays to focus your activities. So in large organizations and medium-sized and large organizations, these activities often develop because of individuals who have an interest in something. Mm-hmm. And you can't underestimate the power of an individual in an organization to influence and impact a lot of people and do a lot of good. But if you try to do that across 50, 60, 100 different initiatives, which I think we kind of had at CB at one point, you spread yourself so thin that it feels like you're not having real fundamental change impact anywhere. And you're just giving a little bit of something to a lot of people. And so what CB did consciously was to say, no, we're going to focus on a few things where we can have a serious national impact. And that's why this cancer, it was called Breathe Deep, I believe is the name of the foundation, was founded, and we bundled a lot of our work into that group, and that I saw as really positive.
Yeah. I mean, having priority lists always is. It's always important, and that can be translated into anything that you do. But especially when you're building a social impact, if you prioritize a couple things and prioritize your energy put into those things, you have more of an impact potential, right?
Yeah. And that may be a difference between a corporation and a nonprofit organization, something like the Ruritans. In a corporation, you can direct, and you can say, I, the CEO, or we, the board, will focus on these 1, 2, 3 things. And there are going to be a bunch of people that are unhappy because their 47 other initiatives will no longer be done, right? In a non-for-profit or social organization like the Ruritans, you depend on the goodwill and the initiative of each individual. And therefore, you need to bring them along, and likely will do more activities. Like, we have 4 different activities that are major fundraisers for us each year. And then you would do it at a corporation, I think.
Yeah.
Right, because if somebody doesn't like the routines, they can just say, I'm leaving.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But if somebody doesn't like the initiative at the company, yeah, they can quit, but you know, they want a paycheck. So they're probably not gonna leave if you tell them that we're only doing this one.
Yeah, yeah, no, that is true. You're right, again, that's the difference, like you're saying, between that volunteer commitment and you know, monetary commitment. It does really change that a lot, but you have to find those people that are those key stakeholders, you're right. So let's jump to the fourth question now then, and it's on communities. So I like that we go from, you know, the individual to the business to the community. And this is your advice. So what's your advice for others to begin making a positive impact in their communities?
Find an organization that is already doing something, if at all possible. Because if you already have a group that is there, you can leverage that and therefore more quickly have an impact than if you start from zero. Secondly, understand from the people in the group that you're in what motivates them, what drives them. Right? So while we have it routines, the overarching purpose of having a positive impact on our Whitehall community, the way we do it is dependent very much by the interests of each of the members. So I mentioned the plant sale. We also do like an apple butter making where, you know, a bunch of us men get up at midnight and start stirring a pot for all of us, and then, you know, we make apple butter with it and sell it for donations and then sponsor with that Christmas presents for children in the community that don't have as much. Another one is a 5K run, not that you mentioned. We actually do one of those. So understanding what drives and motivates these individuals and where they're particularly skilled and want to bring their skill in is, I think, a key skill of the community leader. And facilitating that is, I think, one big thing. The other part is just being personally engaged and being willing to plug the holes where you see them is the second big part. So when you're in a social organization, you can have impact on individual projects. When you are leading an organization or on the board of an organization, then you need to think about how do the different parts fit together? How do different people fit together? And how can I get the best out of each of the people in this group in order to build something that has impact? And that's where I think the having the impact on the community is greatest, when you are able to see a cause that unites the group, understand who in that group can do what, and let them loose on it and encourage them and give positive feedback on the activities that they do. I see it failing when you have a board where somebody thinks it's about themselves,
yeah,
rather than the group. That can be really powerful if they're willing to invest massive amounts of time and oftentimes also not so much of their own money. You can certainly have a major impact, but if you, I think, want to do something sustainable, then the second part, which is less around my ego but more about me understanding what motivates others and how you can leverage everybody and how you can play well together, is the thing that has a bigger impact.
I think a thing you highlighted there that's super important, especially nowadays, is that if there's an initiative already happening, you know, aligns with what you want to do, join it, right? There's always this discussion of, you know, build the next new thing or, you know, be the next founder of something. Well, why recreate the wheel, or why invest time into something when there's already an existing initiative or organization that's doing it, right? And the power of, you know, four people multiplied instead of one is much more powerful, right? Your impact in your, and you'll be able to produce is much better. I think that's super important for a lot of people, just to realize that there is an ego wrapped a lot of times in being a founder of something, you know, starting something. But there's a lot more deep-rooted happiness or deep-rooted achievement if you choose a team.
Yeah. So I think the team can be you can build it as a founder, you can build it by joining something and then taking leadership roles in there. It's both valid paths. I just learned personally from my own experience that joining the Rootedness was one of the best things we've done, because it really makes us feel like we belong in this group, in this community, and we get access to people that were outside of our normal group. So as a founder, you're often limited to the group of people that you already know, and then you slowly go out from there. By joining this rooting group, we get to know people that have been here for generations and farming land. Wonderful. I have no connection to farming, otherwise, you know, beyond my wife doing a vegetable garden.
Yeah.
And so I would have never met these people. And then you very quickly realize that it's only half that group. The other half is architects and entrepreneurs and people work at university at UVA. And so that richness and diversity that we found there was something that would have been really hard to recreate if I had just said, you know what I'm really interested in is X, and I want to build this myself and attract people to that call.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. I think there's a lot of opportunity in joining something that aligns with your moral compass and your mission, right?
Yeah.
That's all the questions I have. I think that's a great end there, because again, you landed on the importance of community. So, Dirk, I want to say thank you, you know, for taking time to be on the podcast. You bring a wealth of knowledge there. You also bring two perspectives, right? You bring corporate along with community investment and social impact. So I appreciate that. And I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, everybody. It was a real